So let's go to the scriptures, and today we have a very special place of this from the scriptures, very important chapter from the Torah, portion of Torah. And I wanna read the story so we can see the picture together. And maybe have first, okay, this is actual picture from that time. Do you see? It's black and white. It's Kodak. So I want to refresh the story. So this is why I want to read the almost whole chapter. So be patient, and if you have the scriptures with you, read with me, please. Read with me, because I want to read from one translation. Maybe you will find something else in different. It will be interesting for us. So chapter 13. This is the story about 12 spies who went into the Canaan land and who came with the report from there and their stories and story of Israel. So Adonai spoke to Moses saying, "Send some men on your behalf to investigate the land of Canaan, which I am giving to Bnei Israel. Each man you are to send will be prince of the tribe of his fathers. A man from each tribe." So 12 people from each tribe. "So according to the word of Adonai, Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All the men were princes of Bnei Israel. From the tribe of Judah, Caleb, son of Jephunneh." And I want to stop here. Please remember this. All of them were princes of Bnei Israel. It was not spontaneous people. The princes of tribes. One of them, Judah and Caleb, from tribe of Judah, Caleb, son of Jephunneh. Also, please remember this name, because we will speak about Caleb later, about his spirit. So later on, verse 26, the same chapter. So they traveled and returned to Moses. Actually, they brought grape for him, and two people they carried, so big, it was so big for them. They traveled and returned to Moses, Aaron, and the entire community of Bnei Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They gave their report to them and the entire assembly. They showed the land's fruit. They gave their account to him and said, "We went into the land where you sent us. Indeed, it is flowing with milk and honey. This is some of its fruit. Except the people living in the land are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large." Probably as Jacksonville, a little bit smaller maybe. "We even saw the sons of Anak there. Amalek is living in the land of the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites are living in the mountains. And the Canaanites are living near the sea and along the bank of the Jordan." Verse 30. "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'We should definitely go up and capture the land, for we can certainly do it.' But the man who had gone up with him said, 'We cannot attack those people because they are stronger than we.' They spread among Bnei Israel a bad report about the land they had explored, saying, 'The land through which we passed to explore devours its residents. All the people we saw there are men of great size. We also saw there the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, are from the Nephilim. We seems like grasshoppers in our eyes as well as theirs.'" And let's read chapter 14 from verse 1. So its story is continuous. I want to bring the picture for us. "All through that night, the entire community raised up their voices." Can you imagine? A few million people, they're crying there. Now they're crying together. So it's probably it was very loud. "The people wept. All Bnei Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole community said." So I want to say one more time, whole community. all people, except three people there, Moses, Joshua, and Caleb. So they said, and I like this because actually looks like they want to die everywhere here. So if only we had died in Egypt, if only we had died in this wilderness, why is Adonai bringing us to this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be like plunder. Shouldn't be better for us to return to Egypt. They say to each other, let's choose a leader and let's go back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the entire assembly of the community of Bnei Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who went among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes. They said to the whole assembly of Bnei Israel, the land through which we passed is an exceptionally good land. If Adonai is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land and will give it to us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Only don't rebel against Adonai, and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They will be food for us. The protection over them is gone. Adonai is with us. Do not fear them. But the whole assembly talked about violently stoning them. Then the glory of Adonai appeared at the tent of meeting to all Bnei Israel. So I want to stop here. It looks like enough for us for today to think about. They almost killed Moses, Joshua, and Caleb. Almost killed them. They decide to stone them. Can you imagine this picture? Few millions people against three. What do you think? It was fun moment for them. No. Whole night they grumbled, they crying, they just rebelled, and actually they came to the conclusion. What to do? Of course, kill them, because they're guilty. What to do next? Chose somebody else and came back to Egypt. Go to Egypt. And only the glory of the Lord stopped them from doing it. Only the glory of the Lord. He came and he stopped this craziness in the people of Israel. He entered the place of Israel. So what a great lesson about unfaithfulness, disobedience, and rebellion. Probably one of the greatest story about this thing. Rebellion, disobedience, and unfaithfulness. And also great story about faithfulness, obedience, and humbleness, and following the Lord. So all people of Israel were filled with faithlessness, fear, anger, and only two people, three with Moses, remained full of faith, and they were willing to die for their beliefs. They're willing to die. They were ready to die for the Lord and for their faith from Israel's. Why? Because Joshua and Caleb, they're filled with a different spirit. Let's say together, different spirit. Numbers 14, verse 24. However, my servant Caleb, because a different spirit is with him. So they had something different from them, from the rest of Israelites. They had different spirit inside of them. It says about Caleb, and I believe the same, and about Joshua, and of course Moses. Joshua and Caleb look on everything with the different eyes, with the God's eyes, and from the different perspective than the rest of Israelites. Few millions of people, they solve the same problems, but two people solve from completely different view. Can we have second slide, please? This is how they saw themselves, the 10 people, you see? It's not grasshoppers, but almost. It's closer now. So what do you think? This fearfulness and powers, and, I mean, they look at, thank you so much, you can It's enough for us to see this. Thank you. So I want to take your attention. 12 people went to the promised land. They saw the same things around them. 10 came with the fear, hopelessness, rebel inside of them. And 2 came with faith, joy, and they were sure we should go and take the land. What's the difference? What's the difference? I believe one of the words from Yeshua, his teaching for us, and this is the Luke chapter 11. I want to read very, very briefly and very important for us thing here. Luke 11 from verse 34. Your eye is the lamp of your body. I believe it's great teaching from Yeshua. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it's sick, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, watch out that the light in you is not darkness. It's very strong teaching from Yeshua. So what does it mean? If somebody has problem with the eyes, he's dark inside. Or if you have brown eyes, you have problems. What is subject? What the point of Yeshua's teaching? He speaks to us, and he speaks not about the color of our eyes. He speaks to us about the idea of the spiritual blindness, about the wrong spiritual vision in our life. How to see on this world, how to see on the people, how to see on the obstacles around us. And this is the great example. 12 of them went, 10 came completely sick in problems and fear, and 2 with the great faith. So how you see the people, how you see the situation, through what eyes you've seen everything around you. Yeshua teach us about perspectives of our vision. And this is very important to understand. To see with the eyes of faith or faithlessness, this is our decision according to the scriptures. This is why he taught us. This is why he teach us. This is choice we need to make and to decide in our life. This is our choice. How we will see the people around us. What kind of glasses will be on us? Or dark? Or shine? This is up to us. Very few examples about it. I believe and understand it's not easy, and it takes a lot of time and prayers. And I believe this is the continuous fight in our life. We will always be fighting with how we see the world around us. Always. We will always be in the place when we say, Lord, please forgive us for judgment. How many times do you judge somebody according to your ways of thinking? And later you found that situation completely different from your judgment. How many times? I believe maybe one somebody, but maybe more. But it's always when you think you know something, usually you're wrong. And Yeshua, he trying to speak to our hearts. Check how you see the people, how you judge them, how you judge their situation, from what eyes you're looking to everything. Hopelessness or hope, fear of faith. You know, in Russian we have interesting saying, fear has big eyes. You know, as Rabbi David once said that we are masters of fear. We can be fearful of everything, any moment. We can think about situation and, you know, it could be small ant and we can see elephant there, you know. How we see in our life, how we approach our life, it's very important to think about. Criticism, to fight with it, it's not easy, but it's important for us. So let's look at the Torah portion. Who were those 12 spies? Usually when I thought about the spies, it bring to me like negative feelings about them. Who they are, why they did it with Israel. So, first of all, they were a princes of Bnei Israel. Let's say together, princes of Bnei Israel. Leaders, elders. It was not people from the street. You know? Moses does not find 12 people from the street. And says, okay, guys, are you wandering around the place here? You don't have to do nothing. So go look at the place. No, it was they were the elders of the Israel. They were the heads of the tribes. They left Israel, they left Egypt, and they saw the God's miracles on the way. So elders, important to understand. Also, they carried a lot of responsibility upon their shoulders. To be an elder of the tribe, it's a lot of responsibility. So I believe their hearts was not wrong in that moment, because you know they cared about families. They were representatives from the tribe. So they looked from the eyes what could be good for their relatives, for their families, for their children. It's very important to understand. And I believe they cared about families, about future, about everything. Also, Moses gave them authority to draw conclusions and bring the record of what they saw in the land. So they had responsibility to make conclusions. You need to understand it. Also, very important to understand. So when they decide to not go to the promised land, I think in their eyes, they act wisely and cautiously. In their eyes. They look at the problems. They compare with themselves. They saw that they are like grasshoppers. So what we shall do? Go back to Egypt, of course. So they were surely that they're right in that moment. But something was wrong with them. Inside of them, something was wrong. And with their wisdom and judgment, they had wrong vision and wrong perspective on their life, completely different from the Lord's perspective. And actually, you know, we can't live by our own wisdom. We can't. We need to have wisdom from the Lord. Amen. It's very important for us. So something wrong with them. What was wrong with them? First of all, they forgot everything, who they are, the reason why they were born. They forgot about their purpose and goal, because their purpose was to follow the Lord. The Lord chose the Israel to be the priests for the nations, to be servant to the nations, and to follow the Lord. It was their purpose. And do you remember the sin in the Hebrew? It means het. Het, it means miss the target. Not the store target or target, but, you know. So they were created to be the servants of the Lord. And when the Lord, he called them to go into the promised land, he told them, your goal is to go and to enter the promised land. I call you from Egypt to possess the promised land. It was their calling and their goal, so they forgot about it. Something happened with them. And all the miracles in Egypt, everything, it's like they had a problem. I call this problem a spiritual amnesia or amnesia. Amnesia, it's partial or total loss of memory. Phew. They forgot about miracles, they forgot about calling, they forgot about everything because they had different point of view, not from the Lord, different, wrong. In the previous chapter, if you remember, previous Torah portion, the Spirit of the Lord from the Moses, the Lord poured the Spirit on 72 elders in Israel. Actually, 70 plus 2 in the camp in Israel. So, and only 2 people remain in the Spirit of the Lord. What's happened with 70? 2, Joshua and Caleb, elders. Rest of them forgot something. This is the serious example for all the nations of the world and for every one of us, I believe, to remember this picture and always to think about it. What's happened with me? What's happened with my view? How I'm looking the world? Do I follow the Lord? Everything's okay in my heart or something wrong? I need to check myself. And results of their spiritual amnesia was very difficult and very painful. 10 of them died immediately, and rest of Israel for 40 years, they walked around the same mountain. Can you imagine? 40 years, because they were 40 days in the promised land, and they missed the point. They had sin against the Lord. And also, look what's happened around us today. The world is going crazy. Looks like humanity are running towards the end with the great speed. And I believe the same reason today and there, the same reason. First reason, it's spiritual amnesia. The people begin to forget about who is their creator, why we are living this world. What's the reason for human life here? Because of amnesia, it's lack of faith or faithlessness. With no goal, with no creator, no faith. Because it's no faith, fear is coming. It's next step. Fear comes. No faith, no God. Difficult circumstances around me. What to do? Of course, fear. Fear comes. Because of fear, next step, rebellion. Rebellion against God, against the powers, authority, against somebody. You know, somebody is guilty. It should be. Somebody should be guilty. Who is guilty in my life? Of course, somebody. I can't be guilty. I'm good. No, I'm joking. I'm a lot of guilty. And rebellion leads to violence. Always. Let's stone and Moses. Let's stone them. Let's kill them. Because the rebellion heart looking for revenge. Somebody should pay something. And usually it's going far away. And the violence leads to destruction. And this is the situation what's happened with the Israel. And very difficult. And only the presence of the Lord stopped this thing. Only the presence of the Lord stopped the death in there. So he came and he stopped this craziness. And also only Joshua and Caleb were different. They kept the vision and they kept the faith. They kept vision from the Lord and faith. They followed the Lord. You know, it reminds me of the words of Yeshua. And when I read this place of scripture, it keep coming to me. Yeshua answered, perverted people, without any trust, how long will I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Do you remember this moment when they don't have faith in healing, in miracle? And he just, come on, guys, I'm tired from this unbelief. I want to see faith. I want to see people of faith. Everything about faith. So every one of us, we need to have faith. We need to keep faith. We need to be people of faith. This is requirement of us. It's not so much about religion. It's not so much about tradition. It's about our relationship with the Lord, about our faith. I want to show something very interesting in practical life. So why should we be obedient to the Lord? Why should we obey to the Lord? Why should we pray? Why should we serve to the Lord? Because if no faith, no reason to keep faithfulness. Only faith is helping us. So I want to look in the one man here. I want to look at the Caleb. First of all, who was the Caleb? He was the prince of the tribe of Judah. Let's say together, tribe of Judah. You know, Messiah came from the tribe of Judah. So, very interesting. Who he was. And I just want to show you a few words. First of all, he was not Jew. Surprise. According to the scripture, he was Kenazite. Now, let's look together. Don't stone me, please, yet. Numbers 32, verse 12. It says here, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. Kenizzite. And Joshua, son of Nun, for they were wholehearted after Adonai. So scripture says, Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. Joshua chapter 14, the same. When the children of Judah approached Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him. Kenizzites were the one of the tribes who lived in the land of Canaan. And if you read carefully chapter 15 of Genesis, you will find that the Lord promises to Abraham to give him the land of Canaan with the Kenizzites inside of it. So he promised that the Abraham and his descendants will take this land. So Caleb was Kenizzite. And interesting, the scriptures does not call him, he was a Kenizzite. Only in his previous life, he was a Kenizzite. It says, the Caleb, the Kenizzite. It's very powerful, very strong, as for me. And the same time, he was the leader of the tribe of Judah and led Israel to fight for the land against his own nation, against Kenizzites who were in that land. Because the part of the he begins to be the part of the promises of Israel. We need to understand it. Something very important here. What was different about Caleb? First of all, he was filled with the spirit of faith and trust to the Lord of Israel, and because of it, he became an important part of the faithful remnant of Israel through faith. He joined himself with Israel. He became to be part of Israel. You know what? One of the great lessons for me from this part of scripture, I believe, please do not try to be somebody else. If you are Jew, stay as a Jew. It's good if you're Jew. If you are not Jew, I want to tell you, this is not a sin and not a curse. Thank you. Be who you are. And please remember, the Lord loves you the same way, and he looks in your heart. The Lord finds Caleb because of his heart, his faith. He was ready to be with Israel. He joined himself with Israel forever. He is the part of the tribe of Judah, even though he is from different place in this moment. I know the different different meaning, different things about it. I read about why he was called a Kenizzite. You can find a lot of literature about it. Somebody tells that his mother was from Kenizzite. Somebody tells that he joined the Israel. Somebody tells that, you know, I don't fully believe the scholars in this day. So I read it here. He was the Kenizzite. It means something for me. So remember, the Lord looks in your heart and your faith. Let's say together, the Lord looks in my heart and my faith. And you can find many examples in the scriptures when the Gentiles became to be part of Israel through their faith, through their faithfulness, through their relationship with the Lord of Israel. Many places. Ruth Moabite, you remember this place? Grandmother of King David. Yeshua, descendant from David. She was Moabite. And you know what's interesting? The Lord rebuked Moabites to be the part of Israel forever. He told, don't accept Moabites in the Israel. No one. Never. And here we have Ruth. Grandmother of King David. So probably King David has the problems with Jewishness in today, modern day. Because his grandmother, not Jew, so probably he will not be so welcome in Israel today. But the Lord looks in our hearts. The Lord looking for faith. The Lord looking for faithfulness. His spirit find the different spirit in Caleb. And he called it different spirit. One of the teaching of Yeshua, and I want to end with it, about the same topic here. Matthew chapter 8, and this is the teaching of Yeshua, our Lord and Savior. On hearing this, Yeshua was amazed and said to the people following him. It's about a Roman soldier. And if you know the history, it's not only about Roman. All the Romans, they were they were occupant there, aggressors on the land of Israel, enemies. And this man is not only Roman, but he's one of the officers there. Can you imagine? Probably they hate him because it was reality in the days. And after a miracle that Yeshua did there, after his faith, this Roman soldier, Yeshua speaks about him. And this is amazing words. On hearing this, Yeshua was amazed and said to the people following him, "Yes, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such trust. Moreover, I tell you that many will come from the east and from the west to take their places at the feast in the kingdom of heaven with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." So strong here. Promises. But be careful here. Not Abraham will take places with them, but they with Abraham. You need to understand, it's different. Nations of the world, they came into the covenant of the Lord with the Jewish people, not opposites. You need to understand it and think about it. Because this is new covenant, first of all, with the Jewish people. So because of Yeshua, you're the son and daughter of the Lord. And not because you're religious or you're doing something good enough or you are, you know, keeping something. It's also important. But first of all, the Lord look in our faith, in our heart. He looked at the Caleb and Joshua ben Nun, and he found faithfulness in their heart. So I want to end, and I don't want to go. I have a few more things to say, but I want to stop here. I want to end with the Hebrews chapter 3, and this is the same idea from our Torah portion. So it's Brit HaChadashah portion for today. I want to read from Hebrews chapter 3, verse 3 and 6 and later. "Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, partners in a heavenly calling, take notice of Yeshua, the emissary and Kohen Gadol, we affirm." And verse 6. "But Messiah's son is over God's house, and we are his house. If we hold firm to our boldness and what we are proud to hope." I like this translation. We're proud to hope in Yeshua, in his deeds, in his sacrifice. We're proud to hope. It's part of our life. In verse 12, "Take care, brothers and sisters, that none of you has an evil heart of unbelief that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day by day, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partners of Messiah if we hold our original conviction firm until the end." Amen. So I want to stop here, and I just want to say to you, please check how you see around you. You know, how you look at the people, through what eyes you see everything. If you have judgmental thing, if you like to judge, if you like to be afraid, all of us, we like to be afraid, I know. Please pray about it. Look in the scriptures, what the Lord speaking to your heart. Look at this example. 12 people, majority looks with fear, 2 of them looks with faith. So check yourself where you are in this position today for you. Because the grace of and mercy of the Lord for us today. So I want to pray. Lord, thank you so much for opportunity to be here. Thank you for the service. Thank you for your Torah, Lord, for your word, Lord. Thank you for everything in our lives, Lord. Help us to be faithful. Help us to keep our faith and to follow you, Lord, all days of our life. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. 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 So let's close with the Aaronic benediction. Yivarechecha Adonai ve'ishmerecha Yaher Adonai panav alecha vichunecha Yisa Adonai panav alecha ve'yasem lecha shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant each and every one of you in your lives his peace.